Well, here we are. We have a work study session, and Sarah Salmon's going to run the thing. It is, what's the date, 19th? I always like to say November 19th, 2018. We have a balanced budget to present to you based on your input, staff input. I think there's some goodies for everybody in there, and happy to hand it over to you.
Okay, are we waiting for two council members, or should we just start? Okay. Okay, so everybody has a budget in front of them. I did not kill any more trees, so I'm hoping everybody has the budget with them. The budget is balanced. I have gone through everything. The whole budget is approximately $52 million, and I think the wastewater treatment plan is what brought that up from our normal, which is around 40 million. I don't know what else I can say. I'm kind of hoping this is our last budget session. I feel pretty confident. And I just want to see if anybody has questions, if there are changes, if you're comfortable with it. Any comments, questions?
Councilman Watson.
Can you guys go over basically how you got it balanced? Because I know there were some issues with the general fund, so can you tell us what you did?
So last time, if I remember correctly, it was like $265,000 after. Well, that zero that I missed, well, that somehow floated around to another place, so I got some off of that. And there were two different issues. It wasn't necessarily the 2019 forecast. The total of it was from the 2018 forecast and the 2019. And so then from there, we've had some budget sessions with all the department heads, and we have gone over it, and people have just, it's kind of been a moving target. Different places we've deducted. There are some, I think some revenues we have deducted also, but it just came out to different places.
So
the forecast, yeah, two different Fridays. We've met and looked at it. Yeah. And it's hard to say which one because we have several. And I think I left in the forecast from the previous one from 11.5. Just I think last year people requested that to see what had changed.
What is HSA city contribution?
That is the insurance, the health savings plan. We have about four employees on the health savings plan. So the city contributes a lump sum, and then their regular medical is cheaper. They have it's a different type of medical plan.
That's something we're looking. Yeah, I see nothing for 2019, so I'm assuming that's
for that was our previous, or the city administrator, Mr. Young, had the health savings plan, and so from the executive, their budget, that is going away.
Oh, okay.
There are a few other areas in the budget that has it.
My other question is, and I'm not used to this system. I'm used to a system that what you see in your budget is what you get. You don't get to go anymore. I understand your system, not your system, the state system is different.
I can't.
How do we track?
I can barely hear.
My question is, how do you know when somebody's, or who tracks that you're about to exceed your budget? That would be you or the department?
The department heads should be tracking their budgets. They get monthly budget updates, and they can always come and talk to me, but that is up to each department.
Okay.
Department head.
I guess the one that concerns me is office supply books, $200.
Could you state which line item?
number. I don't know what the line is. It would probably be line 353, I believe.
Right there.
Okay, what's the question?
Well, I don't think you can answer it. It's more directed to the executive branch, which we have only one up here tonight. The budget is $200, and we exceeded it by 726%, almost 727%. We spent almost $1,300 with a $200 budget. How did that happen?
I don't know. We can look it up for you and bring it next time.
Say even if we, even what it is, how are we exceeding a budget over 700%? My assumption.
1,200 million dollars. We'll look it up for you. Happy to do that. I don't know what's in there.
I guess my point being, if we can exceed budgets by 727%, what are we doing? Why do we even have a budget if we're not going to pay attention to it? And that's not for you. I realize you're just people. I don't understand if we're just not going to pay attention to our budgets. Why are we wasting our time for the last few meetings?
I do have one comment on that. The overall executive budget, the forecast for 2018 does have Mr. Young's payout in it also, so there's part of it. I'm not talking about each line item, but the bottom line of that, just so you know.
Okay. And the other last question, well, did you have anybody else? Go ahead.
I was wondering if the chinking of the cabins for Pioneer Park were in here, and also they also brought in another estimate for the barn roof?
Correct. So we have $15,000 in there, and I believe the quote came in around $30,000, and I have not added the extra $15,000. I'm going to leave that up to the council.
Okay.
Right now we are at $5,900 over our expenditures, or our revenues over our expenditures,
mm-hmm.
For current expense. So we're just right there. So I felt like that was something that the council needed to decide before I added it.
I have some of the answers to that. So that's a catch-all. As I'm sure you're warmly aware, there's many cups of coffee in there from the mayor meeting with folks. But there's also things like the tent that we used for the booth at the street fair. There's some of our plaques and recognitions are in there. And a banner for the public works. We had a booth at the Ferndale Street Fair, and so the banner and the tent for that booth came out of the community engagement fund because it was an opportunity for us to engage with the community.
I can think of a few more things. Every month we see these because of all the things. So every single month we see these.
That's true.
And most recently we spent about $3 in supplies for the veterans ceremony.
And
call some artists painting the side of the building about 8 o'clock at night. So the mayor picked up 3 pizzas for them. They asked for dinner. Not to take care of that. Since you really mentioned coffee, I'm going to guess probably in 3 years, maybe 20 cups of coffee. In those 3 years, that's a very small amount.
No, I'm not questioning what you bought with that. I can read that. I thought we were supposed to derive some sort of benefit.
So,
but I understand what he's saying is more than just a fund for coffee and food.
It's a lot of, for instance, the Veterans Day ceremony that we did, I boosted that through our social media. We spent about $25 advertising that event because we felt that there was a community benefit to folks coming and attending and participating in that event. Though that's where those funds came out of. So I don't want to use the term catch-all because that kind of grates my nerves, but it's for those community engagement opportunities.
Okay, thanks.
And as you said, we all get to see those every month.
Yes, it is.
Okay. And then, so for 18, we put that back down. That's a pretty large swing. It's a six-figure swing. So basically what you're saying is we'll have it, we have those liabilities covered in 18. We won't have any more next year for that spot.
Correct.
Thank you. That's a good call.
Councilmember Kennedy, can you tilt it down a little? Yeah. Thank you.
Can you explain that payout as well? Is this on vacation time?
Correct. Vacation and sick time.
What was the total amount?
It's approximately $75,000.
As you know, if you're at committee on Wednesday, our non-representative staff previously had a policy of a lot of unlimited carryover vacation time at 100% of the day, and they would be able to take, and they still are able to take up the day that they leave the city. As you also know, we've changed that, so there's a limit of 30 days. Which seem to be more in line with other organizations. So we have halved that amount for Mr. Young. If we have other staff members, should they leave, they would not have that much, but they'd have a little bit of money to get catch up. We're trying to limit that liability with a different vacation policy. As you can see, over time, that can go to be quite a bit. That's a money.
Line 369, 383, 504, it's the salary increases. So that's, the first one is for the deputy clerk, but $120,000 for finance, what does that cover? I know you were talking about wanting another person, is it going to be another $120,000?
No, so I think I've mentioned this before that I've audited payroll and we had, we have several employees who part of it goes to water, sewer, storm, and one of them was completely in water, sewer, storm. And they should not be in water, sewer, storm. They should be, so I brought it back into finance. So there is, the allocation is changing for my staff. And plus an additional person.
So there is still an additional person?
Yes. About 57 and plus benefits.
So that's not 57 doesn't include benefits, 57 just for salary?
Just for the salary line, right.
I think that the total new employees in terms of number are that one in finance, a deputy clerk, and then also a half-time position in PD.
Right.
And what are the total costs for 2.5 at PD?
I don't have that number for you with everything.
You're right.
I would like the number.
Okay.
You're right. Thank you.
Questions?
It's directional.
I think you have locked the park commission line.
I believe it's with the organizational grants.
470. Okay, thank you. And then I have one more question. Under the parks line, is the Star Park covered area, isn't it shelter included in the capital?
I don't have
We have the, right now we have the replacement equipment and the...
Excuse me. Right now we have the replacement equipment for Cedar and then the fitness equipment that's going to replace the park equipment down there. I didn't have a good cost for that, and I need to get a little bit better handle on where we're going to be at with the park mitigation fee once we get the costs for the playground equipment back. So.
But that would come out of...
Yeah, playground equipment. Yes, yes.
That's good, because that's why I said it per tab, and I think it would run on the same page.
You're about to basically lose an employee and not get anything. I don't want to put you on the spot, but that concerns me that you're going to be doing one job or moving into that, and then Haley's going to try and step up on yours. Who's going to try and step up on Haley's?
Right. So a really good question. We've talked a lot about that. Jesse Ashbaugh, code enforcement, is going to step up where he's going to be doing less of the GIS stuff that he's doing and more of the assistant or associate planning stuff. Tony Siegerman is also going to step up as far as everybody's going to step up, at least initially, where she's going to be doing more of what Jesse is currently doing as far as looking at single-family residences when he's not doing code enforcement. He's going to step up and learn under Haley's tutelage the site plan review, subdivision, that sort of thing. We're still dealing with one less person, and I can't tell you precisely where my time will be. Obviously, I'm going to work eight-hour days where current city administrator doesn't always work eight-hour days, so there might be some additional benefit there. What we're also planning on reducing are the number of legislative things that we're bringing forward, where you see me quite often with a code scrub item or something like that. We are dialing in what the proposed agenda is going to be, and I think that there will be fewer of those. It's not make work, but we don't have a lot of those aren't critical that we need to do, so dialing those down. Where what we're hoping to do is, we don't know exactly where our gap will be, because it might be that I do a great job, I know that Haley would do a great job, maybe we need another associate planner, or maybe we need an assistant planner, or maybe we need another code enforcement officer to take Jesse's. So what we're hoping to be able to do is to get through the nine-month probationary period and then be able to make our decision based on that. Again, looking at the stuff that we need to do from legislative, it's really the Shoreline Master Program is the only thing that we need to get done in 2019. So I think that we're in a good position as far as we don't have a failing code right now. So we're optimistic. I think that Haley's got a really good team who will say, okay, we're not going to allow ourselves to fail. And I think that goes for Public Works, too.
Well, I'm not insinuating anybody would fail, but I would hope that if you feel you're being overloaded, that you could come and ask.
Absolutely. And Haley knows that, too, and that we're going to be eyes wide open because we know that this is it's a transition. And so we will come to you if we need it. But I think that everybody's kind of excited about it, too. Thank you.
The council, a great example is the encampment together. No one's knocking on the door to put tents up in the backyards of churches, but we still got ahead of that. And that might be an example of something that might get pushed down the road in the future. He's talking about his legislative agenda. The things that we need to do now, we can do now, but the things that it would be nice to might get pushed down the road.
Food trucks.
Since we're talking about working proactively, there were two things that I was thinking that could be, you know, cost savings to the city. And one of them we keep talking about, but we haven't done anything, is bringing on a grants writer to work in different areas. Another area is I heard we spend a tremendous amount of money on engineering and bringing in an in-house engineer. I don't know if that's ever been considered or if we had that at one time.
Yes.
I wanted to just talk about the grant writer. The deputy clerk position, what we've talked about doing, and sorry, Susan, you can talk about that. Susan and I sat down, and Riley and I sat down, where there's a bunch of work that has been put off. Not, again, critical stuff, but is records retention, records management, some other things.
We have fulfilled our legal requirements.
Yes. Correct. Where the deputy clerk, one of their initial actions, and I think this goes for, to a certain extent, the finance department as well, there are projects that our current staff haven't been able to get to, where there will initially be that getting us back to where we need to go. With the deputy clerk position, one of the things we're talking about is the possibility of having them also do grant writing. Which I know is something that you've looked at, and if they are successful, would bring in more than they take out. And I know that in finance, there are 30-some projects for the person where they would also be working. We hadn't figured out the name, but financial analyst, I think, was a name that we'd put out where there are, 5,000 numbers here?
30,000.
Oh, yeah, 30,000.
Over 30,000.
Where having one person look at 30,000 numbers, you're going to get cross-eyed. So having a financial analyst that can work closely with the finance director is going to be a benefit as far as making sure that all the numbers, all 30,000 of them, work together.
And your engineer staff continues to work for banks. As you noted, Friday, they were successful in getting the DIP board for $2.5 million. Our strong one people do that, and a couple of us do that, so this is just an extra help.
I was just going to mention, too, that sometimes when Brian Enslow is down in Olympia working, he'll learn of things that are brand new, and maybe this grant writer could work closer with Brian Enslow.
Great. As far as the engineering, I know that we do spend a significant amount of money on outside engineering. Even if we were to bring on a staff of engineers, we would not design our own projects. We're not to that size, and it would take a number of staff in order for us to design our own projects. The bulk of the engineering that we do contract for is project design, and that'll be a task that we will continue to rely upon outside consulting for a number of years. And even jurisdictions as large as Bellingham still employ outside engineers to design that they don't have the internal people to do. So it's not something that would really benefit the organization as much. It's,
thank you.
Line 2134, it says 18.5 million for the wastewater treatment plant in a loan. I didn't think that was the amount that we got for a loan.
Say that again, what line?
Line 2134.
That's correct. So what we put in there was just what we're planning on expending for that project. So we will have a loan from Department of Ecology and probably going out for a bond also. So whatever project expenditures, we need to have that revenue for it.
You would help me if I knew, because how much is the actual loan? Do we have a low interest loan? I'm trying to figure out how much more money we'll need in 2013.
There are two separate loans that we got. One was for, we'd applied for, when we applied for the wastewater treatment plant funding through the state revolving loan fund, we had applied initially for a loan to get the money for design, and that was going to be retroactive. We were nearly complete with the design at the time that we applied for the loan, but looking to get some funding to backfill the hole that we had spent out of our reserves to complete that design, and then also a loan for the construction. We were successful on both of them. For the design portion of it, we were successful in getting the full dollar amount that we had requested. It was $1.something million for that request, and then additionally we received $11 million something, and I'm sorry that I don't have the number right in front of me to give you, for the construction. In the initial
negotiations with Department of Ecology and drafting up the loan documents for that loan, it was decided that we would just lump those two together into the construction portion of it and go forward with that. So we have about $13 million available, $13 million available for that revolving loan program that we'll be utilizing as the initial money. As the budget indicates, there's about $18 million for this year. We're working with our engineers to develop the burn rate for how much we're going to go through, and that number is predicated off of the engineers' estimates of how far we'll progress during the 2019 construction season. So it will be initially the loan proceeds that we'll be pursuing that with, and then backfilling that with bond revenue to complete the project.
I think just to me personally, it would help to separate it so that we know what we actually have versus what we need. And we have the guarantee of $13 million in loans.
A little over 13.
So we still need like $6.5 million for next year. That's a lot of money. So I mean, I'm trying to figure out where that $6.5 million is going to come from. And are you going to need that in April? Or are you going to need that in August? I know you and I have talked about this, but I'm uncomfortable having $18 million there when we really don't have $6.5 million. Because it makes it look like we already have the loans. Because there's no debt service in here either.
Well, I don't think there's any ambiguity over our ability to bond the rest of the proceeds or bond the rest of the expenditure. When we go to do the bonds, I believe that we will, and you have to defer to CERC on this, but in order for me to go out to bid for the project, I need to have the full amount available for the project. So it would be, you know, we would do one bond issuance that would be for the total amount necessary for the project. And so we'd develop the total bond package. That would come before council, and that would be a discussion that we'd have going forward. But I would anticipate that we do one bond issuance with the intent of receiving those funds and then putting them into the sewer fund to pay out the project as we went forward.
And what I'm trying to get to, and that the other good job is we don't only have half the money right now. We've got about $25 million, we've got about $12 million. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be coming to us in 2018. I feel like we're doing the 2018 budget without a really big part of it, without knowing where that big part's going to come from. Because it's a huge part of our, I mean, next year we're going to start a 2-year project.
So the plan is to go for a bond for the rest of it. We will not be able to go for a bond until we know what our sewer rates will be and how we're going to pay for the bond. So that will be coming up. We'll be doing the sewer rate study. And we'll come to you with that. I mean, if it's not approved, obviously we can't go for a bond and we won't be able to do the wastewater treatment plant. But we can put it into a budget. It's a forecast. And if we don't use any of it, we don't use any of it if we don't go forward with the project. This doesn't mean that we start in January and we start spending the money. We'll start the project when we do have the funding in order.
But I still don't know where the debt service is going to come from, because you're going to have us raise the sewer rates a certain amount. And so we're going to have to raise the sewer rates
to cover
$12 million of debt service.
To cover the, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Over 10 years or 20 years?
20-year bonds, and our first plan we're kind of looking at, it's a possibility that we don't even start paying our debt service for the loan, the Department of Ecology loan, till I believe 2023, probably at the earliest. So we have a little bit of time to step up the rates, and then when the bond and the bond would be about the same.
I just want to double check. We have $850,000.
Yes.
That's in there. And so that is still bookmarked to be the debt service for this $12 million loan. It's not going to quite be enough, but it's...
Correct. Okay. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is left over from the last time we did the wastewater treatment plant. We've kind of been setting that aside. Although I see there's only, we only did 1 year.
We did 1 year. Correct.
We're going to do 2018. So
I don't think that's in the budget. Right. And it is accruing interest, so there's more than $850,000 in there. It's accruing interest, but.
We did, yeah.
That $850,000 we would have put away was used for design.
But then again,
And as
I indicated, we had consolidated that into one package so that we have yet to receive any of the proceeds from that loan, nor have we actually received the paperwork from Ecology for entering into the loan. So there's a lag with Department of Ecology in getting the paperwork for that. They had, you know, with this funding cycle being a little bit strange with the capital budget and all of the issues that were surrounding that, all of the loan documentation as well as grant documentation and paperwork associated with that has been very slow coming out from Department of Ecology. We're still kind of in a holding pattern with the grant documentation for the Ferndale Terrace project as well as the loan for the wastewater treatment plant.
I guess just one last comment. I think if you are just a resident and you're looking at this, it looks like we already have $18.5 million in loans that are already there in our budget. So we don't actually. We have like the 12.5. And then we're going to need something, so I don't know if you want to put some kind of note so that people know that. I don't want people to be surprised, because it looks like we already have $18.5 million in loans guaranteed somewhere. Maybe we don't. And so when we have the conversation, I want people to be able to understand where that's coming from.
I think we can articulate that when we're talking to the public about this.
Well, I mean, there's no place for a note. There's no reason we can't put a note saying, you know, we 12.5 million from the state to date.
But I was just going to note that the same does apply for many of our revenues, too, where there are projections,
yeah,
obviously, and we
all
don't yet
them.
Have them.
People
right.
aren't going to hate you for our revenues, too.
True, unless they're a lot lower.
Thank you. More questions of Sam? Go ahead, please.
The 90K for Vista Ridge, Rebecca brought it up, but I thought that having the covered picnic area at Star Park was a really high priority. So I don't know what this Vista Ridge trail is. What are we getting? Because it looks like it's very expensive.
You can add it.
Well, so I'll start off, and or maybe Kevin will.
Yeah, but it was just
you can barely see his mouth.
Let's fight over this. Is that
you'll win?
The 90,000 is several projects. It's not 90,000 for Vista Ridge Trail. We put $75,000 in for replacement of labor.
$790,000.
We had put 70. I don't even think this is turned on.
It has a feedback.
Okay.
It seems low.
We'll tinker with it during the break. So we do have $75,000 in for playground equipment replacement and then $15,000 in for the Vista Ridge Trail. We're having the Malloy Terrace development that's going in is installing a portion of that trail, and consistent with the construction that they're having, we're planning on going forward with the rest of the construction of that trail network.
And the 75 is aimed at some critical playground replacement at Cedar Creek and the playground adjacent to the Pioneer Pavilion.
Yeah, and those were prioritized based upon feedback from the PRTAB.
Yeah, that was the PRTABs.
So that
yes, we are going to dismantle it and then replace it with something. The current plan is to install adult exercise equipment there. So families that are enjoying a relaxing baseball game while their kids are practicing can do some reps on that. That's the term, right? Reps.
Yeah.
A hit.
Gym
yeah.
Rep.
Yeah. Not a hit.
So, is Mr. Rich Trail something we, I guess, I'm just guessing, because I really want to see the picnic area. Because there's so many people that go there with their kids, and it'd be nice to be able to have a party in there.
That's still in the plan. It's just coming from park impact fees.
So it's already already in the budget somewhere?
We just talked about
it. Is the line item that's in there is for the playground equipment. We could definitely I'm waiting to see where we come in with park impact fees at the end of the year and how much cash we have available to pursue those projects. And it would be my intent to go forward with it. However, I do not know how much I'm going to have at the end of the year. So I'm hoping, because, I mean, you know, the park impact fees, we've got to pay the debt service out of that. It's heavily leveraged with debt. And so need to meet our obligations with the debt service. And there is some delta between our actual revenues and what the debt service is on that. I know that CIRC has been projecting that. We do have the playground equipment replacements in there. I know that the playground equipment replacements have been a high priority. So, I mean, I'm going to defer to council on whether or not, you know, the playground equipment would be a more appropriate use or the shelter at Star Park. I don't have a cost estimate for the shelter at Star Park, nor have we started any design work on the shelter for Star Park. And so I guess with some kind of competing projects out there with the playground equipment and the shelter, I would defer to council on what you would like to see first. You know, we have included in the budget the $75,000 for the equipment. That could definitely be $75,000 for a shelter and none for equipment. It could be less for equipment and some for a shelter. I mean, we can mix and match. I don't have a firm concept of size. I know that Riley has had some discussions with the per tab. They've been discussing what the parameters of the shelter would be and discussing some of the design elements. And I know he and I had some talk about it today on what they would like to see and some, you know, additional kind of flair elements added to it. And I know that Councilmember Czar has been at those meetings and has been part of those discussions. So, I mean, I'm happy to proceed in whatever direction that council would like. I don't believe that I have the revenue in that line item to be able to do the shelter and the playground equipment and the trail. So, you know, if there are priorities that you want to direct me to, I'd be more than receptive to get that direction. Right.
I thought the other was just waiting for a figure. I think the Star Park covered area is the main priority. The other two things to wait, in my opinion, the trail is, I thought, only going to happen because of another development.
It is not.
The tap identified project as necessary. So, I think I would like to find a way to make all three of those things happen because covered area needs to happen. That's huge.
Honestly, this is the first I've heard it. Oh. You know, I mean, other than the stuff on Facebook, I haven't heard of the covered area, picnic area, stop parking, at all. So to me, this conversation is a surprise.
I guess I have talked to Riley about it, just because I see so many people over there.
I'm not suggesting that it's not necessary, but, you know, I would also argue, though, that, you know, the covered area near Star Park is, you know, appeals to a very specific segment of population, people who use Star Park. I don't use Star Park. But I certainly use the trails, and if there was a trail running back behind what you're talking about, I'd be all over that. So for me, it may be a priority. It's the first I'm hearing that is the top of the parks departments or the parks board's priority.
I mean, the Star Park is for younger kids, and the covered area, I mean, people have birthday parties at parks all spring through fall, and there's no place to do that here, so they can't rent a covered space, except for that sad area next to the pavilion. And people do rent that.
Every week.
But.
And hold it. I know that's not our park, but it is, I mean, hold it. It's
But it's
not a priority, but I'm just saying this is the top of the
it's coming out of the park.
Yeah.
It does appear, and I just had a little side conversation with Circa, if you wanted to direct us to just go ahead and put another 25 from the park mitigation fee into that capital line item, we can change the note and include the shelter and that. And should we, you know, get further into the design and development of that and come back, we can have a little bit more of a discussion. I think there's a little bit more in that impact fee category or that impact fee account than I was thinking there was. So, you know, if that is the direction that you guys, I know you've got a different, but if we have, you know, if we have the revenue available, I think that we could fit all those in.
And we can have that conversation, as Kelly mentioned, kind of see how revenue is working for the new year. Those park mitigation fees are mostly allocated to Centennial Park and Riverton Park. That's the
count. Count mostly. There is a significant change in that fund right now.
Mm-hmm.
But what if we develop the private development, excuse me, and do their trail up to the new, I mean, this is what it, the Vista is connected to, right?
Correct. There's a couple. The Malloy Terrace development is currently under construction. I don't know if I know we've said it a couple of times. If you haven't been up there, you should go look. But they're significantly into their construction. I would anticipate that they'd be nearing completion of that first phase, which is kind of the south. From about their entrance road, which is directly across from Calico Loop. South is the portion that they're developing right now. The trail section is going to go from about this location all the way around down the bottom of Vista and over to Vista. They should be nearing the end of their completion. I would anticipate by late summer they'll be putting that trail in. We were anticipating that we would be completing the section between their development and the lower corner down here at about the same time that they were, so that we would be designing that and then queuing it up for late summer construction. Additionally, we're going through the development review process on a development known as Vista Springs, which is going to be located just to the south here, and they're going to be constructing the trail section from the back corner out to Vista. So they're currently in the development review process. I couldn't give you a date of when they would get into construction, and you know, when they're this early in the design process with their project, a lot of things can happen, and it could be that they get their design and then try to market the project. So I couldn't give you a timeline on when that would be complete.
But would we be trying to line up our work with their work, or we're just going to do it this summer? And if they don't do it this summer, are we still going to do our work?
If we are able to, yes.
More questions from council?
I have a question. Did you give us direction to put $25,000 in for the shelter, or should I leave that out?
Oh, I was just suggesting that we have a modification of the capital line item within the budget for parks, which had incorporated the Vista Ridge Trail, the playground equipment modifications both down at Pioneer Park and at Cedar, that we just modified the note with that to incorporate the shelter at Star Park and increase the line item by $25,000. Park mitigation fees.
Obviously, you're going to have to come back and approve all these things. Would you be more comfortable with that?
And the chinking of the cabin?
I do believe so, yes.
But I thought we were short.
I have not had any discussion past the 15,000. So if there has been a new figure, I'm not privy to it.
The bids they have come in about 30,000, and that covers repairing the hole in the barn roof, the chinking, and one other project that's eluding me right now. I apologize. So that was 30,000 for all three of those.
Gas conversion.
Yeah, it was it. Yeah, converting all the heaters for gas. So they asked for 30. We put in 15K. We, of course, defer to the wisdom of the council.
Okay.
Yeah. I will say that those are not eligible for the park mitigation fees, so that would come directly out of general fund expenditure.
Oh.
They're asking for 30?
Yes.
So that means better that they should fund it through the line?
Yes.
Are they putting any money?
No, although they have already started paying the bills on the conversion of all the heaters because they needed to do that because winter.
So, okay, so the Heritage Society is not putting the money
to
the natural gas conversion, they are.
I mean, they've started to pay the bills. They have asked for the city to cover some of those costs.
Compensation from the chinking?
Yes.
It's all rolled into one. I mean, they've
the
submitted
path, they put in natural gas lines.
Yeah, they submitted a request for those three items: the chinking, the conversion, and the repairing of the hole in the barn. And that, that's what we put in the budget. In the meantime, go to Old Fashioned Christmas because that'll help. That's exactly it. Yeah.
So you're asking that we leave the 15,000 as is?
Thank you.
Well, I was just wondering, so that we can now have them put in a closure of crosswalk, we can do that again, because we're going to get up to like $100,000 to do one of those, but we're looking at
yes, it was.
Okay.
Yeah. That's signalization modification to first, and I forget the exact verbiage that's in there, but it is the intent to go forward with modifications. Now, I will throw out that that one is going to be less than the $100,000 is what we spent at the library to pursue the construction and installation of the RRFB, or Rapid Rectangular Flashing Beacon. Yeah, it is. But when we did that project, if you drive through and look at the area at the library, Main Street was on enough of a slope that we actually had to go in and regrade the street because we can't have any more than a 2% cross slope for ADA compliance with the crosswalk going across Main Street. And so in order to install that one, we did two modifications to the street, is that we changed the grading of the street so that now you go up and there's a flat spot where you cross the crosswalk to keep it under the 2% threshold. And then also we constructed the center refuge island at that location so that a pedestrian going from one side to the other could stop midway and have a protected area where they might not get hit by it. I mean, you still drive over the curb, but it's a much safer area for a pedestrian to be in the middle of the street if they don't get all the way across Main. With the one at First Avenue, we'd only be installing the rapid flashing beacons. The one caveat that I throw at that is that we're going to have to relocate one of the street lights that's in that area that's going to drive the cost up a little bit. But the intent is to remove the eastern crosswalk, the one closest to the river, and then upgrade the crosswalk on the west side of that intersection, installing the flashing beacon so that people can activate that and get across Main Street. We're going to remove the bulb out from the east side of the intersection and then improve the channelization or the pavement markings that are in that area to give people going through the area a better understanding of how to navigate through there. And then there'll be signs indicating crosswalk at this location, as well as removing the mast arms for that. But it's all wrapped up in one project, and it is included in the budget. We are working with our design consultants to get the design package so that we can go out to bid on that. We're anticipating that that would be probably an April or so project for the city because we want to get out and do it. But it is a kind of weather-dependent kind of operation. You got to do all the striping and everything out there, so we want to wait until we have some hope of having good enough weather to get it done.
So the expenditure is on line 1137.